Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
All right, boys. Before we get into the intro and into the podcast, I'm going to do a prelude to the podcast in an Eddie Butler style.
Ooh.
Exciting.
Three men. One rugby dungeon. A dark and testosterone-filled room awash with stash. JB. Cutting a confused figure, a Welshman who hates South Walians. A solitary vein popping out of his head, should anyone criticise Miles Benjamin. Phil, with his binary, number-filled matrix brain, is ready to unleash a swarm of stampeding stats. But this stampede has been fully risk-assessed. And Tim, Captain Sensible, the host with the most. If you're counting name drops, that is. The trio await their arena. Microphones up. Let the boys pod.
Pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Yeah, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Thank you, Eddie Butler, for that wonderful intro there. I'm Tim. That's JB.
Hello, Tim.
And over there is Philip.
Hi, Tim.
How are we then, gents? You all right?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, very good, thanks, Tim. You okay?
Yeah, good. I'm good. It's been a... I don't know how it is for the rest of the country, but it certainly looks from the rugby that we've seen that it's been bright, almost spring-like, a bit cold, and that has had a positive impact on some of the rugby, at least. But maybe not so much the rugby we're going to be talking about today, because this is the Six Nations podcast. We're going to be talking about everything Six Nations. So this week, two podcasts. The second, all about domestic rugby, Super Rugby. This one, all about the Six Nations.
Very good.
So get in touch with us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We've had loads more contact with you there. And I'm just going to mention James McGuane, who definitely deserves a mention. He tweeted us a picture from the Sunday Times, where they have a section for readers' letters. And James got his letter in the Times and perpetuated the rule that Jamie Roberts manages to move forward 3 metres at a time, no more, no less.
Exactly right.
Which is
exactly
JB's right. Theory. He said, and this is a quote from the Times, Stephen Jones says Manu Tuilagi should develop his kicking and passing game, but what of Jamie Roberts, who is lauded for his play, which consists simply of carrying the ball 3 metres at a time and making big hits in defence? Well done, James, for your work. JB approves wholeheartedly.
Exactly.
Right, Six Nations then. Before we get into the actual games, I want to start here because we've already heard from Eddie Butler. We've got him to do a brilliant intro for the podcast, as you just heard a minute ago. But he was part of, and I'm going to put it out there, the worst commentary team to do a Six Nations rugby match.
It wasn't great, was it?
I think you and I, for one of the very few times, are completely on the same page here. Completely. I like a bit of negativity occasionally where it's deserved. But the thing I thought when I'm watching this is, if you ever watch the NFL, or you ever watch, in fact, you ever watch BT Sport, all the crew watching the game, it's almost like they appreciate being there. They can't believe they're making money to watch the thing that they love happen live on air and tell everyone else about it.
Yeah.
These three were the most bitter, just almost nasty individuals I've ever heard. They just whinge like it's some sort of birthright that they should be there and they want you to know that they were better.
That's the thing, it's them wanting to, like, it's almost like in my day it was so much better than this and it's terrible now.
I mean, they were good players. Jonathan Davis was
Jonathan
a great
Davis
player.
Was a brilliant
Brian
player.
Moore wasn't the world's best ever hooker.
Well, he played in a World Cup final. He's played at a top level. He has a right to have an opinion.
Absolutely,
and
he does.
And opinions are brilliant. But I think, like you say, where they crossed over on Friday night during the Wales France game was just a turgid whinge fest.
Do you know what though? How much the general impression of that game is? It wasn't great. But how much better would the impression be if the commentators were positive? Do you know, like, if you watch NFL, like, this is the most exciting World Championship since the last World Championship.
I wouldn't have bought it if they'd have been not calling a spade a spade. If they'd have been saying it was amazing when it wasn't, I wouldn't have bought it. However, I think, like you say, there's what I liked conversely by the ITV coverage was and what you get from BT Sport, and you even get it more so from Sky Sports as well with guys like Will Greenwood, is the actual analytical input. Yeah. Rather than just
because
whizzing.
That's what you want from these guys, because they've been there and done it. They have a perspective that's unique that certainly none of us can give, and a lot of people can't give.
Yeah, I've got a little clip of Jonathan Davis I want to play.
Is this from Friday night?
This is from Friday night.
So listen then.
So Wayne Barnes is about to have a chat with his South African TMO about a potential tip tackle by Donty, was it?
Donty the 12.
Donty
yes.
the 12, the French 12, on a Welsh player near the French line. And you can't hear a word any of them say because Jonathan Davis is just bleating over the top.
That's a tip tackle.
Just a penalty, though.
Thanks. Yep. Sean, just slightly horizontal, so there is a lift. But we're talking just penalty. Anything to add to that?
That is.
Can you just repeat?
Sean, so we've got a lift.
What am I listening to?
Can you just repeat, Wayne?
So we've got a lift behind the horizontal. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I saw. And then driving it into the ground.
It carried on like that for a full minute until, and I'll give props to Eddie Butler on this one. Have a listen to Eddie Butler at the end.
Wales 9.
Just told him to shut up.
Do you know what? Just giving an idea of an actual real life bit of commentary that I once heard. I was watching State of Origin about 6 years ago, and the game, a ball hadn't been kicked, and the commentators, two of them behind the posts, said, "This is the greatest game in any code." I want to listen to what those guys have to say.
All right, here's a hypothetical for you then. Would you rather have BBC coverage with its extended build-up, like 2-3 hour programme, lengthy pre- and post-match chat with its cast of
grumpy old men, basically.
Ungrateful men. That's a bit the one that gets
or
me.
Would you take ITV's ad-filled, abruptly ending coverage that had no post-match chat whatsoever?
Do you know what? I actually like ads. I like to understand and respect the people that actually fund the whole thing. so actually,
spoken, ITV, like, spoken like a true financial advisor.
Yeah, ITV, because they have this idea that it should be fun, that we should actually be enjoying what we're watching.
Well, they're basically following the BT Sport blueprint almost, aren't they? With 80% of the same team.
Yeah.
I would actually go for the ITV as well, because very frequently it's nice to pop off for a brew or a beer or whatever during the ad breaks. And then you still get like the good, insightful punditry.
Yeah.
It should be quality rather than quantity.
Owen tweeted us to @rugbypodcast, said, anybody that complains about half-time adverts in... actually, it was for Steve, the Exeter Chiefs fan. Anybody who complains about half-time adverts in ITV rugby coverage isn't using their time wisely. You should be going to the bar / fridge
exactly.
to get more drinks.
Exactly. Very good point.
I would say that the one thing they could have done, because the ITV coverage got cut short because they had to go to Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway. Surely Ant McPartlin's forehead is large enough that you could have a screen projected onto his forehead, continue the rugby coverage on that.
Now for dual screen with Ant and Dec.
Could they not have just pushed it back 20 minutes or 15 minutes?
Well, they've got a schedule to keep. At least the game, you know, the game's been played. I don't need to see anymore. In fact, if you want after-game coverage, download our podcast. Don't watch ITV.
Good, yeah, good
point. That's a great point, JB. And as we know from the ITV coverage itself, number of the members of that team are listeners to the podcast. Hello, Nick Mullins and co.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Right, so onto the games itself then. Let's start with Friday night. Was it a rubbish game then?
No.
I'll put that question. Was it a terrible match? Because it's been reported as being a real drab affair.
So for me, no, providing you are a real rugby aficionado. You have to be a real fan to appreciate a game like that. For the casual viewer, I think it would be a bit boring. But for people like us, I loved it.
Oh, I thought it was incredible.
I loved the Welsh defence, and we've seen it time and time again. And France had, they had huge amounts of territory in possession, and Wales' defence was just heroic.
Do you know what it was? It was rugby for adults.
It's not even adults. I go along with what Phil said. Rugby. It was a game for purists. Yeah.
It's like the difference between just wanting sugar, and then having a bit more of an educated palate and, you know, enjoying the odd truffle.
I love... I'm not trying to describe it as a truffle compared to a bag of Haribo.
But... Yeah, exactly what it is. I love the way the Wales are so comfortable on their own 5 metre line. I've said it before, but this really... I mean, there's a little phase of the Ireland versus Wales game last year when Ireland were camped on the Welsh 5 metre and Wales just marched them out. Well, they took it to new levels on Friday. They had the French in their own 22 for 20 minutes. They conceded 3 penalties and defended 3 driving mauls.
Yeah.
It's almost unheard of.
I do respect the... Well, no, this is it. I'd say it isn't unheard of. I'd say that's been the blueprint for this Six Nations.
I've never seen anyone defend 20 minutes.
No,
like that.
All right. The specific nature of that 20-minute spell in the second half where, you know, France had 75% possession in the second half and Wales kept them out. I respect the effort and the Welsh defence and the aggressiveness of their line speed and all the rest of it and the commitment of the tackling. But again, I don't think that stacks up when you face really good attacking sides.
Maybe not, but maybe it does. Because, I mean, Wales was so close to beating both South Africa and Australia. Could have, would have, should have, I guess. But they were. And the beautiful thing about what Wales do is it's kind of rugby at its best, which is it's got all the right hallmarks, bravery, endeavour. It gets the most out of these guys who aren't the best athletes in world rugby, but they might be the best team.
Rugby at its best?
Rugby at
really?
Its best.
Really? Alex Cuthbert?
Yeah, but you know, Alex Cuthbert is a rubbish rugby player, and yet he's part of this incredible team. You know,
you're stretching things a bit here.
They are an incredible team. They are an incredible team. And when I say team, I don't mean they are the best team in the world at all. What I mean is they perform so much better than the individuals.
Yeah,
that all comes down to the ethos that Welsh team possesses.
I was really surprised. The first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, hello, Wales are offloading the ball. They're passing in contact.
They're like 4 offloads in the first 20.
I know, again. And then they sort of went, oh, no, we'll forget that again.
Hang on a minute.
It's like, whoa.
I'm looking at it, right? Here's the way I see it. I think that what's going on here is Rob Howley's influence is creeping in more and more and more, and Warren Gatland is giving way to Rob Howley ever slightly, inch by inch, because I think they all recognise that they're not going to do better than they've done doing the same thing, but it's going to be a really slow process.
I think you might be right there that Howley is slowly getting more influence, although I think he'll be gone soon. I think they'll probably bring in Stephen Jones. But here is the point I would make. If he is getting influence, it'll be interesting to see if he gets Scott Williams back in the team, because Scott Williams is everything an attacking rugby player should be. But to get him in the team, you've got to get rid of Jamie Roberts, who is everything that this Welsh team is.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good analogy. And you also look at the length of time it's going to take as well, because the primary thing in the Six Nations is actually winning the games. You've got to win the game. There's only 5 matches. You have to win. You have to win everything. So above all else, win ugly. And then after that, you can slowly, if you're starting to win, you can slowly start to make the changes in the manner in which you're playing.
Just a quick question. Who do you think is faster? Because Danny Kerr has a real reputation for being a fast scrum half. Simpson has a big reputation for being a fast scrum half. How about Gareth Davis?
He's quick.
My word, he's like the Millennium Falcon.
It's acceleration, isn't it? As much as actual top speed, it's the...
Oh, when he just decides to go. And
I'd still say... Simpson and Matawalu are the two faster scrum halves, and then both Webb and Gareth Davies can't be far behind.
Gareth Davies reminds me of Gareth Cooper and the acceleration he used to have from scrum half in a world
kind of build as well.
Yeah, he is. Now, exactly what you said. You said win ugly. It's all about winning and all the rest of it. Colm Doherty is a listener to the podcast, and he tweeted a little exchange that he had with Brian O'Driscoll on Twitter.
Yes, I saw this.
So he tweeted us the picture of this little thing and said, you know, nothing like getting schooled by your hero. And what Colm did is he tweeted Brian O'Driscoll, in my head, the Six Nations is now over for Ireland. It's a training camp for us. We should rest Sexton, focus on McCloskey and Henshaw, a new back row and scrum. Brian O'Driscoll's response to that is, winning games is worth too much pride, money, whatever way you think about it, to ever think like that.
Yeah,
winning is number one. Now, interestingly, we'll go on to the game on Saturday in a minute, but Scotland have actually been playing good rugby for a couple of years, and they've won they lost nine on the bounce. This was their first win in nine attempts. So they've almost been trying to do it the other way around, to get the rugby going first, and then hoping that winning catches up. But it's taken a long time, and they've only won one against Italy.
Do you know what? It's one of those things, it's very easy to say, isn't it? When you're winning, you know, it's all about the process, and the winning just looks after itself.
Quick question about France. Are they, how rubbish are they?
They're not? They're not rubbish.
I don't think they're rubbish, but they are nowhere near the sum of their parts. To link back to what you said about Wales, the talent that they've got in that team, the number of players they've got in who are seriously, like, potentially world-class players, but they are nowhere near their potential.
I think this team's going to come good. Maybe not. I thought they'd come good by the end of Six Nations, but maybe not. In Gerardo, they've got a real leader.
Yeah.
Ah, but they're going young. They've got all of this talent across their back line, as most French teams do, and they've got a pretty big pack.
Oh,
and they're all fairly young.
All they needed, David Smith. He would have made all the difference.
That's quite funny, actually.
I loved that story. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
I mean,
who tweeted something like... something like crisis in France as they run out of Fijian-born wingers. Or something.
Yeah. I can't remember. I've got the tweet somewhere here. You know, there's a serious injury problem in France when they run out of Fijian wingers.
I think they will be a good team. I actually think the coach is a fairly astute appointment. Everyone says he's 10 years too late, and I get that in a club environment. But if you just want to get him playing good French rugby, yeah, I think they'll do that.
He's got pedigree like.
Like no one helps, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. One thing I will say with France, I've actually been saying this for a long time, they have to start playing Tranduc.
Oh,
Tranduc,
God, yes.
A world-class 10, and he has never had a proper run in the French team. He's always been on the periphery.
He made 10. Such a difference. France dominated territorially, and Wales held them out, yes, but they dominated territorially, and it was, I think, largely due to Tranduc. Para and Tranduc as a halfback combo. Come on.
Yeah. They could have had this since 2009,
yeah.
But they've just not.
I don't really know anything about Tranduc. Yeah, I've seen him in a French shirt a handful of times, but I never watched Montpellier.
Him in a gorgeous blue Adidas French shirt.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
But I do think that they'll come round, and I think we'll all rue the day when we said, oh, France are rubbish, this coach is too old, etc, etc. Yeah, I think there's a lot more to come.
Right. What did you make of Eddie Jones off the field? Because a lot has been made in Ireland. There's a lot of Irish sporting blogs and websites and stuff that are very unhappy with Eddie Jones.
Love it.
I like it. And I like that he doesn't take it too seriously as well. Yeah. He's almost like baiting the press because he knows they're going to make a really big deal about it. And then when he's interrogated and asked questions about it, he's like, oh, you can't take this kind of stuff too seriously. I think he's doing really, really well.
So just in case you missed it, you may well have spotted it. It's quite a big story, particularly in Ireland. It was a big story. But so Ireland released a bit of information saying that Johnny Sexton had whiplash-type injuries, and Eddie Jones said, if I was his mum and dad, I'd be concerned for him.
Yes.
And he was saying that's relating to the whiplash injuries. Now, a lot of people said that's really bad out of order, bringing Johnny Sexton's mum and dad into it.
Pipe down.
But it was more than that. It was... You know, also, he was very, very bullish in his defence of Mike Brown and the kick. The loads of Irish journalists in the post-match press conference wanted to talk about Mike Brown's use of the boot in a ruck on Conor Murray.
It happens.
And he was really, really, really bullish and just wasn't having any of it.
Yeah, he wasn't. They were trying to bait him into saying, like... Well, they were trying to get him to say it was reckless.
Yeah.
And he was just having none of it.
Yeah, well, it is reckless. I mean, you can't consider everything which you do in a game of rugby, because you're busy watching a ball. You know, you can't watch where your hands, your feet, your knees, everything is going
time.
It is reckless.
These were conscious. No, it was... No, I wouldn't say it was reckless. I'd say it was unintended and unfortunate that there was contact with Connor Murray. But Connor Murray equally won't lie on the floor holding onto a rugby ball inches from his face.
Exactly right.
If you're going to lie on the floor holding onto a ball, then
there should be painful consequences.
Yeah,
I completely agree.
Because
everyone's trying to win, it's worth too. You know, it's too important. You've got to get your hands off that ball.
If there'd been a stamp, clear stamp on the face or whatever,
very different.
And the other thing as well is if there is no danger to slowing down a ball, well, then you remove the heroic side of slowing down balls. I mean, there are guys like Neil Back who are revered because they didn't mind getting stood on to slow down the ball.
Yeah, look at his face.
I know, and that's what made him a hero. Now even I could jump over the other side of the ruck and slow down because there'd be no consequences whatsoever.
Like, you know how when you get like you bang a bone and it calcifies and a slight lump of bone builds on top. That's why Jacques Berger is so lumpy. What a guy. He just puts his face in places people don't want to put it. So yeah, that was a bit of a nonsense, but it really endeared me to Eddie Jones, because I thought I would love to play for that guy.
Well, because he's fighting like you are, and I kind of feel that when Lancaster is involved, it's a bit like, no, we're all going to be nice people and we're just going to try really hard.
Yeah.
Whereas he's like, no, you will go to Italy and you're going to smash him.
Yeah,
because that's what we expect.
And I don't know whether it's because Eddie Jones is at the helm and I see that. And I don't know whether there's actually any tangible difference between England, but I see them as slightly meaner and not as nice, and I quite like that.
Well, the other side is the Hartley coming in and captaining the side, who's...
Great decision.
Very, very much like that. He played well. On Saturday.
He did.
I thought he was very good. Although his first two games he's been a bit hit and miss, but don't forget he's just coming back to fitness as well, so he's definitely improving.
So I asked the question, how bad are France or not? How good at England or not?
Interesting.
I think they're maybe 5% better than they were last year. And they were a good team last year.
Yeah. But the 12 of the guys that started against Ireland last year.
Last year, yeah.
They seem more
And Mike Brown would have if he wasn't concussed last year.
Yeah, so they would have been 13.
Yeah.
They seem more certain of themselves. So that sounds like a silly thing to say. But, like, the backs were criticised for not being particularly adventurous. Well, the backs are basically the same guys, but they all of a sudden seem very competent. You know, they all of a sudden seem very, 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 very dangerous. I'd also have to say that Billy Vunipola is ace. I mean, that's it. I mean, if you say Billy Vunipola...
He could quite feasibly account for the 5% increase.
I think you might be right.
On his own.
His performances are truly exceptional.
But I also think having Farrell at 12 really gives it a calming influence. There's no kind of headless Billy 12 tree stuff or uncertainty with Burrell. Just nice and calm. And having
another ball player and another kicker to take pressure off Ford, because Ford is under a bit of pressure, not least because I don't think Ben Youngs is playing well at all.
He's not, is he?
His passing is poor, and he's gone back to what he used to do, which is...
Crabbing sideways.
Yeah, which is hold the ball for 2 seconds, and then pass, which is the last thing that Ford needs. Ford needs time on the ball, and he's not getting any.
And that's why George Ford looks so good with Peter Stringer at 9 last year.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I think it's also...
That's all Peter Stringer does.
Yes. I think it's very important as well for George Ford, because he himself isn't playing well for Bath. Partly because of Matawali, basically for the reasons that you said. So to have someone with the composure of Farrell outside of him must actually be a real help.
Mm. Yes. So I think next week we'll see Kerr start, and he'll be...
Definitely.
In 2 weeks' time we'll see Kerr start under instructions to get fast ball all the time. If it's on, he'll be able to have a snipe, but none of this pick up, crab, look for the half gap, then pass... It's not conducive to good 10 play.
Ben Youngs feels to me like a guy who's had about 1,000 chances to be a starting, a really good...
Every now and again he pulls out a proper worldie of a game.
Oh, right. He's definitely back. He's definitely the best scrum off in England. And then he goes back to this.
Yeah. I don't think he's kind of switched on enough to be there as an international nine. His decision making isn't always great, and some of his passes. I mean, for the Watson try,
thank goodness he had Robshaw outside him to give an amazing miss pass
to scoop it up off his toes.
Yeah.
And then throw a two man miss pass over the top.
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't be left to a blindside flanker to tidy up for a scrum half's terrible pass.
Mm. Yes, but fortunately, we've got Robshaw there who can do it.
Yeah.
Well, Robshaw and Haskell. Who both there, right?
Haskell has got terrible hands. He just uses them quite well.
He does, exactly. Yeah, he does lots of other stuff. I thought Ben Youngs didn't have a great game. Also, the other thing I want to have a word about, Twickenham. Twickenham, can you have a word with yourself?
Why?
Not Twickenham, the stadium, not the fans.
The train station?
whoever's deciding that every time there's a point scored, we need to hear...
I know that.
Everybody dance now. God.
I enjoyed it. Do you know what I don't like about Twickenham?
Sorry?
Do you know what I don't like about Twickenham? Because I love the stadium. I love the area. I absolutely adore the dress code. But what
the dress code being...
Tweed.
tweed, mustard chinos, and...
Barber jacket, if you've got one.
Barber jacket, umbrellas.
Brogues,
yeah.
Tan brogues, preferably.
Yes. Ooh, yes, nice.
Like Hunter Wellies, maybe, even.
Yeah, yeah.
I like all that, and it's all very classic. So why do they insist with the urban font for all the signs? Like, urban handwriting fonts. It just doesn't seem to match up.
They're trying to bring new people into the game.
Yeah, but, like, do you think you're going to feel more comfortable in that environment because of the urban fonts when you're surrounded by tan brogue
jackets? It costs £4 for a pack of very... I mean, they're very lovely, but £4 for a pack of pork scratchings in there.
Yeah, exactly.
You're only going to get a certain demographic.
At least you feel at home because there's graffiti-like writing all over the hoardings.
Now, one quick thing for the England-Ireland game.
Please, yes.
Billy Vunipola versus the rest of his starting pack.
Ooh, nice.
How did he get on this week? So twice in a row, he's comfortably carried for more metres than the rest of his pack. Today, I can tell you that he carried 17 times and the other seven starters carried 39 times.
Right.
So who carried for more metres? So they carried more than twice the number.
I'm going to say Billy.
Robshaw carried a few reasonably well.
Billy had some good line breaks, though.
And Marrow did quite well with a few carries. I'm going to say that they're about the same. Maybe the team pipped him by... No, if the 39 carries, the team will have outdone Billy. But I reckon Billy will have outdone possibly Ireland's whole pack. I don't know.
I think he did outdo Ireland's whole pack. And you're correct that Robshaw and Itoje were the top two other carriers. But Itoje carried for 15 metres in second place.
What?
Robshaw 13 metres. Billy Vunipola 94 metres.
Oh my goodness.
So he did 94, played 59.
I tell you an amazing stat that we've...
Wow.
That
we've wow. Spent,
he's,
so
he's
he on, almost doubled the rest of the England pack.
And carries per metre. He was like four times the number.
Wow.
He is on one hell of a run of form. And what makes it even more incredible is because he is the main carrier, he is like triple man marked every single time. So he's making all those metres with three men on his back.
It's interesting, this, isn't it? Because, yeah, I agree with everything you say. They are phenomenal stats. But how is he able to do this because you've got Robshaw and Haskell working so hard at everything else? Because those boys really, really...
And it's also positionally, like, a lot of number eights get put back behind... back to return kicks and stuff, which
he does a bit of, but the back three all ran for more than 50 metres. Noel 54, Watson 87, Brown 79, so they were returning a lot of ball.
Yeah.
Billy's not used anywhere near as much as, say, Waldrum is used for Exeter.
We talked about this as an NFL stat. His yards after contact are huge. The first time someone makes contact with him, he still manages to make...
If he carries on like this, he'll be approaching the standards of his cousin.
There was one time where he broke the line with CJ Standard, literally on his back. He was carrying him on his back for another 20 yards.
Literally on his back. How do you feel about the fact those Vunipola boys, they do sound a little bit Cardiff when they talk, don't they? How do you feel about them?
I've actually asked one of them, how's it feel not to, something like, how's it feel to let down Wales, or something like that. Or I can't remember exactly the question, and I was told by Macko, I'm not Welsh, bro. That was it. Deadly serious.
In a thick South Walian accent. Yeah.
Looking straight at me, I'm not Welsh. Well, I don't know. Got my doubts.
Oh, there's one thing I spotted with Eddie Jones as well. Another thing I liked. So I liked his bullishness off the pitch. And then during the game, there was a brilliant shot of, I don't know why, they obviously was nothing more interesting to take a shot of. So they had about a whole 30-second shot of Eddie Jones walking down some stairs at one point. I don't know why they focused on that. But he went all the way, they showed him going all the way down the stairs, and he went all the way down the stairs to just to have about a 10-second chat with Elliot Daly before he went on.
Yeah.
Which I thought, that's like, I don't know, I just get getting good vibes.
Yes, because Daly came on at 12, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
No, he doesn't play there. But it makes England super attacking.
It certainly does make England more attacking.
Yeah. I know, boys. Why don't we talk about Cornerstone and then we'll play a quiz before we go on to our last game?
Oh, fantastic. Well, we've actually had loads of people get in touch with us saying that.
Loads of people sign up, more to the point, so thank you very much.
Well, that's what I mean. Getting in touch to tell us they've signed up with Cornerstone, which is great.
And so, all very clean shaven.
They've become a partner really out of the blue. We were all customers. We really like Cornerstone, and they got wind of this from some of our tweets to each other, and then they clocked that we do a podcast and said, well, we'll give your listeners the same a deal, and we'll give you a little deal. So it's a mail order shaving thing. They send you a personalised engraved metal shaving handle, and then you can take your pick from as little as £4. You can get involved, you can change your orders, you can get stuff delivered at whatever frequency you want, you can cancel, and we can get you a £10 discount on your first order. So that's exactly what we did. So all you need to do is go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers.
Now, the thing I like most is the delivery of the razors. You must have in the past had times where you've not been to the shops.
Exactly.
You're partway through shaving and you realise that this blade is nowhere near sharp enough, and you just end up pulling out half the hair in a terrible story.
Wincing. Use tweezers.
Exactly. You use the kitchen scissors, the tweezers, anything to try and finish the job. With Cornerstone, that will never happen again.
Yeah. And also, one handle, one razor. You don't need to wander down to a shop with the razor handle trying on all the various razors.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously the vibrating function goes, or the light function goes, or the laser pointer goes.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
None of that. It's just shaving.
Yeah. Just very good precision engineered German blades.
So they gave us a little £10 discount, and they said offer it to your listeners. So that's what we're doing, and there's loads of people getting on board. So nice one. It's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers to get your £10 off your first order, which you can cancel, get your money back on, whatever you want. Just just go and give it a go. So a quiz, did you say,
it's
JB?
Not quite a quiz.
Have you organised this then?
Yeah, it's a game.
It always makes me nervous when JB comes up with games we haven't talked about beforehand.
I think this will be no different. Okay, so it's a bit of a surprise, and it came really from watching the Wales game, and it's confusing, isn't it? Because Wales have a load of people called Williams, so that's confusing.
Yeah.
A load of people called Joneses, and of course, even the commentary team, there's a Jonathan Davis and there's
Jonathan Davis,
right?
Yeah.
So and I made Davis. A brand new game. Let me just turn up my sound here.
Smith, Jones or Davis?
No. It's Springbok or Nazi war criminal. So,
so you got the idea watching Wales?
Yeah, because they all sound the same, right?
Okay.
Oh my god,
it's an interesting.
All right, then. Let's make this a quick game. Come on.
So I'm going to read out a name, and you're going to have to tell me: is this a Nazi war criminal or is it a Springbok?
Go on, then.
All right. So number one, Helmgard Müller.
Nazi war criminal.
I'm going to say Nazi war criminal as well. Helmgard Müller.
So is Helmgard Müller a wing commander or is he a winger? You've both said
wing commander. No,
he's not. Oh. He's actually a Springbok winger.
Wow.
Next one, Martin Bormann.
Bormann.
I'm going to go Springbok.
I'm going to say Nazi war criminal.
Is he a member of the most evil organisation ever? Or is he a Springbok? Phil says Springbok. Unfortunately, Tim.
Oh, you've gone to a lot of effort with this. I'm impressed, JB. Go on.
Alfred Jodl. Is Alfred Jodl a proponent of the Blitz attack or the Blitz defence?
Blitz defence.
Blitz defence is in a Springbok.
He's a Springbok.
I'm going to say he's a Blitz attack.
Nazi
war criminal.
Well, one of you knows your war criminals. Well done, Phil. Phil's now in an unassailable lead if he gets this next one right. Hans Ankamp.
Hans Ankamp. Oh, that's a war criminal all the way. I'm just saying that. You can say.
I'm going to make it interesting. I'm going to say he's a Springbok.
Oh wow. So if you think he was a Springbok, you were correct.
Yeah,
he was a winger.
Winner.
So there we go. Tune in next week for more jovial Nazi war criminal or Springbok.
You need to write out the TV treatment of that and send it to yourself in a sealed envelope so that no one can steal it, JB. That's brilliant. Good effort. So, going back briefly to Billy Vunipola, we're going to start a thing, starting on this podcast today, we're going to have a good egg and a bad egg of the week.
Yeah.
And the good egg going to someone or something connected with the game of rugby that we think deserves special praise, and a bad egg, something we want to highlight that deserves special criticism. Would Billy Vunipola be our good egg?
Yes, I think he would.
I think he was the single most impressive performance of the Six Nations this week. So, yes, I would go with that.
Yeah, so he's our good egg. Any suggestions for a bad egg? I mean, I'm tempted to say the Jonathan Davis, Brian Moore axis.
Oh, well done. Yeah.
For the BBC on Friday night.
The single most negative event in sports history, yes.
I would also say there's a potential contender in Finn Russell, who was very good for most of the match. But when when Scotland needed some composure and some calm and just to keep cool, he goes and gets himself sin-binned completely unnecessarily for hands in the ruck 5 metres from his own line, and gave Italy a chance of actually winning the match. So that's the last thing you really want from your 10. So he's a contender, but not even close to Davis and Brian Moore.
So we'll go equal bad eggs this week, Moore and Davis. But that's something we're going to do from now on. So that's another reason we want you to get in touch as the weeks unfold and as the days go by. When things happen, good egg suggestions and bad egg suggestions for different reasons, whatever reason you want, at Rugby Podcast. You can get in touch with us on Twitter, tim@eggchasers.com. You can email and I'll find your email and share that on the podcast as well. And a good egg, also contender, could be Mamuka Gorgodza.
Yes.
For his life-saving treatment of James O'Connor on the way back from Toulon's match.
What, did he just shout at him, "James, you will be okay," and James snapped out of it?
Whilst shaving his manly beard with the only razors that can get through that tough beard, the Cornerstone razor. But yeah, so this James O'Connor story was bizarre. So when it got mentioned that he'd had a heart attack, he was like, oh my God, that's unbelievable.
That's quite serious.
Turns out it's fatigue and hypoglycemic reaction.
Yeah, that's what he's
seems like a sugar low and
yeah,
tiredness.
Hypoglycemia is lack of low blood sugar.
It's yeah, that's his response. So Toulon made an official response which didn't mention cardiac arrest or heart attack at all.
Well, that's good,
but it was widely being reported that he did actually suffer a cardiac arrest. Toulon have said he's going to have. He will play again, no problems with that. He will undergo some tests over the next few weeks, but they've got no issues about him.
But there's no specific detail on Mamuka Gorgodzian exactly what he did, but all it's been reported is that he was the person that treated James O'Connor. She's incredible. What a guy.
I did see someone on Twitter say that Mamuka Gorgodzian giving CPR could restart an elephant's heart.
Very good. Very good, very good. So,
you did mention it slightly earlier, Tim. We should go into a little bit more detail on the David Smith story.
Oh yeah, do that.
So on, I think it was Sunday night, just after we recorded, the Federation of French Rugby announced that they were calling David Smith into the French squad.
I'd love to have heard what Eddie Butler would have done with that.
David
Smith. followed the next morning by World Rugby confirming that, as he's already played sevens for New Zealand, and given the fact that he's Samoan born, he's ineligible for France.
This doesn't sound right to me, because sevens is a different eligibility criteria to international rugby, right?
No, not if it is in the Olympics, because in the Olympics you need to be a citizen of that country. That's right. Why Quade Cooper's having an issue at the moment.
So can someone remind me how Stefan was trying to get into the French team?
He would have applied.
There was a brief loophole in the laws due to some changes, and it did line up with the sevens as well. It was, if you played for one country, but then you hadn't played for a certain period of time, I think it was 3 or 5 years, you could then do an alternative eligibility route through the sevens during the qualification process for the Olympics.
Right.
So about 2 years ago, France put in a list of about 70 players, of which David Smith was included, of which Brock James was included, Stefan Armitage were all included as potential players for this World Cup just gone. But then I think the World Rugby, the IRB, very quickly
closed
the loophole. Yeah. Yes.
In terms of eligibility,
yes.
The one rule I would like to see changed, along with all the other rules I'd like to see changed, is I'd like to see Tier 1 nations be able to lose their players to Tier 2, but not vice versa.
Yes.
So if you're part of the evil empire of New Zealand who cap these lads.
Like one, and there's a New Zealander who got one cap when he was 22, and then he's 26 and still hasn't got a cap and was born in Fiji.
Yeah.
So they say, Tier 2 nation, back you come.
Yeah.
However, I say this, and what most people don't realise is that the Pacific Island teams have got more New Zealanders in than the New Zealand team have got Pacific Islanders in. So it's almost flipped around anyway now.
They have more players who were born in New Zealand,
that's right.
Yes,
yeah.
But who are of Samoan descent.
Yes, rather than vice versa.
Can I just talk briefly, because we were mentioning England, we talked a lot about Billy Vunipola. I mean, I think Eddie Jones must just be like, as privately, he must just be going home to his. Is he married? He's got a wife.
Yeah. Hates the cold.
He must be. Cheers. He must
well,
be.
No, this is important, right?
You interject with stuff like that anytime you want, JB. I like it.
That's the detail
I like adding in.
This is important because, of course, apparently he left Saracens because she got too cold.
Mm.
So when asked this time, how is Mrs. Jones? He replied, I bought her a larger overcoat. So now she's happy.
Good luck. Good chat as well.
Because she was expecting to be in South Africa.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
South African summer.
Tabletop Mountain, all the rest of it.
Instead, she got a British winter.
Table Mountain. Tabletop.
Tabletop Mountain.
And what did I say? Tabletop Mountain.
Tabletop.
Same thing.
Same thing. We know what you meant.
Cut that out.
But I think privately, he must go home to his missus and he must just giggle going, I've got such a good squad of players.
And you'll never guess how much they're paying me.
And I've just joined them. And I've just joined them at the best time anyone could have joined this job. Yeah. Quite right.
T-Hop, it's amazing. And they're all world class.
Maro Itoje, I didn't realise he's made his full debut now, a full year younger than both Martin Johnson and Paul O'Connell.
Is that right?
Wow.
He is going to be something special.
And he looked,
I'm convinced. I'm on the.
He looked completely at home.
I'm on the bandwagon.
He did. Oh, I am fully. I'm a fully signed up member of that bandwagon.
Yeah,
get me the T-shirt.
I'm actually thinking if we don't do it, someone will nick that prize-winning Maro
T-shirt.
And nick it. So we need to get those in production. If anyone wants to go into cahoots with us and help us with prize-winning Maro T-shirts, yeah, get in touch at Rugby Podcast because let's make this happen.
A good point there, Tim, because I have ordered a prototype of the Egg Chaser Club tie. This is for my own personal use. However, if you also want an Egg Chasers Club tie, if there's any demand for them out there, which of course I suspect there is a huge demand, just hit us up on Twitter. We'll see what we can do, and they might be available sooner rather than later.
Maybe we could make prize-winning Maro T-shirts prizes that we give out for exceptional contributions to the podcast as well.
Interesting.
So we're going to give people who tweet us funny things Maros. Is that what you're saying?
a Maro and a T-shirt.
Maro, or maybe a little rosette like you get in a gardening show.
Yes.
Your prize-winning Maro contribution.
Very good.
We're an untapped resource. We're like an oil pipeline just waiting to be drilled.
Exactly right.
Strange turn of phrase.
Yeah. We are in JB's seedy rugby dungeon, though, Phil.
Very true.
Have we spoke about Italy, Scotland yet?
Not properly.
Only in as much as Scotland could have thrown it away thanks to Finn Russell.
They really try hard to throw these games away, don't they?
They do their best.
They try their best.
They're very proud of that 0-9 record. Didn't want to see it go too easily.
I thought this was a great game.
Yeah, it was.
I really enjoyed it.
I saw the end of it. I didn't see how most of the points were accumulated, though.
Some good tries from both teams. Some really good handling, really good offloads, some good attacking rugby. Scotland, it did feel like they were always the better team, and
yeah,
they scored some good points, got up a decent lead, but then just conspired to try and throw it away. Italy had a bit of pressure. Finn Russell dived over a ruck when he really did not need to. He gets sin-binned. Italy score to close the gap to one try or one score, and then Scotland just did enough to win.
Scotland still Ireland and France to come, yeah?
Yes. Now, my prediction at the start of the Six Nations was that they would win three games, and I'm going to stand by that. Based on the way things are going, I think that Scotland can beat both Ireland and France.
Okay. I think you're probably right. I think France are there for the taking, and I think Ireland are too, to be fair.
Now, Scotland host France, which... 2 weeks on Sunday, but then they are away to Ireland.
Ooh, that's so not quite so easy.
The Ireland, I think it will depend on exactly how many of their players they've got fit or injured at the time. But I'd certainly expect them to beat France based on the way that they're playing.
And if they don't beat France, we just call it another failure?
Yes, oh yeah.
Another abject failure.
Definitely.
Whilst we're casting our mind ahead to it, again, we'll talk in more depth next week on next week's podcast, previewing the Six Nations games, which are in a fortnight's time as we sit here recording this. But if you picked a winner today, Twickenham, England, Wales, I see Grand Slam happening. I really do.
Are you on the Grand Slam bandwagon?
I am on the Grand Slam bandwagon now.
What do I see happening? Do you know what? I would have said England to win prior to the France game, but actually, do you know what? We're whinging about Wales beating France comfortably when, you know, I think this is the best incarnation of this Welsh team ever, and I think they'll go there and probably sneak a win. The best thing the English fans can do is don't show up to Twickenham in 2 weeks' time, have no atmosphere, play down the significance of the game, and hopefully Dan Bigg will just forget it's happening. He'll just toss it off and that's it.
There's that phrase again. Some interesting turns of phrase.
But as soon as you start the pyrotechnics and, you know, you give it a big match feel, you're done for.
Why does Dan Bigger, he seems to catch every single kickoff, no matter which team they're playing. And it's not just that everyone's kicking to him. He's just always there wherever the ball is.
Amazing.
He takes it.
Is it like the Matrix? He sees things happen in slow motion, so he's got all that time to get to the ball wherever it is.
Not only opposition kicks does he catch? He also catches his own kicks. I mean, I don't know if there's a statistic for this, but I think he might be one of the most successful up and under merchants that there is.
Yeah, he's one of the best in the world at that.
He is.
Him and Liam Williams.
Liam Williams is great.
That man is a warrior.
They were absolutely super. I thought the rest of the Welsh back
I mean, Liam Williams is like a historical sort of aberration, because people will be looking at this in the future and they'll go, hang on, is this 2015? I thought Ricketts was cured.
He has got bizarre bow legs.
Yeah.
He really has. Right, let me just get onto this then, because one of the things we got loads of contact up on Twitter and all the rest of it over the weekend, and I'll just read out a few of the tweets we got, because a lot of them were all on the same topic. So before we're done, we need to talk about this. Tweet here. We've just spent 5 minutes watching two men try and decide if a man spent half a second too long lying down. Thrilling entertainment. And then this one. An absolute refereeing nightmare. Felt like we saw more TMO replays than actual in-game play. Let the boys play.
Hear, hear.
And then another tweet here to @RugbyPodcast. So frustrated with the stop-start method applied by the referees and TMOs. The game is not the same. Let the boys play. And then Eddie tweeted to @RugbyPodcast. The whistle. The whistle. I'm sick to death of the whistle. And at one point it was pointed out Wayne Barnes stopped the game for cramp. I think Dan Bigger had cramp and Wayne Barnes stopped the game. It was a very frustrating weekend to watch, because there was a lot of things preventing it from being a spectacle. And part of that was the lack of attacking accuracy, and part of that was the intervention of
the
officials.
We need to decide which way we want our game to go. Now, do we want an NFL-style game where you have basically an official for each receiver? So if anything goes wrong, even slightly, even the slightest technical infringement of the laws, a flag comes out, it's whistled up, and then back you come. Or do we want something more flowing, you know, like Super League, for instance, where there isn't the interaction between the TMO and the... I mean, the TMO is actually... It actually came from Super League originally.
JB, do you have an opinion on TMOs?
I do have an opinion, Tim, actually. The arm is coming over in an aggressive manner. It's just stupid. It's just stupid. The language is stupid. The use is stupid. And also, the intervention is becoming more stupid too, because they used to have to ask for an opinion, but now the opinion is just freely given.
Oh yeah, I don't like that. I don't mind it if something dangerous or something there's foul play that's been missed, if something like that. But if it's just saying, can we have a look two phases back? There might have been an incident at the ruck there.
But also, there might not. Actually, why don't they do this? There might not have been an incident two rucks back, because it's the same thing you're doing.
Yeah.
Just one little technical point on that. So there was a couple of times where the game went on for a good minute, and then a TMO thing was happening, and then they go back for a penalty. So let's say, for argument's sake, one team attacking and one of the players, I don't know, had some foul play at a ruck and he stamped on someone, and the attacking team go on and score 2 minutes later. That score gets chalked off and they come all the way back and give a penalty for foul play, but they keep the time on the clock as it was.
Good point. So you've like, because in the NFL they go reset the clock to 4:01.
Yeah.
So that's only a really tiny.
Really good
but
point.
I think it's relevant that and again there was one incident where I thought the amount of advantage is getting ridiculous. So there was one point where England got a penalty on the 10-meter line, on Ireland's 10-meter line, and
it was when Billy Vunipola made...
Billy Vunipola made a run towards the left corner flag of the Irish try line,
yeah,
and got tackled, bundled into touch 1 metre from the line. Mm-hmm. So he got one stride away from scoring a try, and advantage got brought back a full 40-odd metres.
And that was a clear try-scoring opportunity.
Really? In your scenario, if you break the line and you start you get into a foot race... Actually, that's a pointless phrase, isn't it? Foot race. A race. What other race would you be doing?
On a rugby pitch.
Yeah.
Motorbike, horse race.
If you just go and you made one break, I actually think it's fine to bring it back. I'd like to see something more like you kick away advantage, or through, like, I don't know, four phases or three phases.
That one, on knock-on advantage particularly, that one does my head in. When a rubbish kick, like, if you choose to kick it, you're making the choice to kick it. If you then do a terrible kick, well, that's tough.
I think knock-on advantage, to be honest. They do say that, don't they?
Knock-on advantage is very short.
Well, it should be. Well, yeah. I just think the penalty advantage,
knock-on advantage, if you break the line or if you kick it away,
I think knock-on advantage, if you kick it away, it's gone.
Yeah, because should be.
There was a spate of knock-on advantage, fling it back to your fly half, and he'd take a shot, and there's no harm, no foul.
Yeah, maybe this. I'm getting too into specifics. I think if you actually stand back and broaden out with what we're talking about, the whole TMO thing, which I'm in favour of TMOs and their interventions, broadly speaking. But
as long as you get the right decision.
I think if you stand back, and there was an incident actually, I was watching, was it the Exeter game, and Austin Healey was on the commentary team.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, you know, just saying, for goodness sake, speed up the scrums. Fine, yeah. You have to have a reset scrum. But actually, he just said, this is about the second time we've had a full 2 minutes. He said, this is the reason why players are massive, because they get to have a two-minute breather.
Yes. Now, Graham Moore alluded to this, and he is right, that the more procedure, and I've said this for years, more procedure you put into scrums, the more unstable they become. Can I tell you a story about a ref that I had yesterday? The worst ref I have ever come across in my entire life.
It wasn't Wayne Barnes, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was... they probably were related, but it wasn't Wayne Barnes, okay?
I actually think Wayne Barnes is reffing very well at the moment.
I agree.
Now, I was playing third-team rugby, and I was drafted in to play tight-head prop. I'm no longer a tight-head prop, loose-head prop, but so be it. And we're playing duck and field threes. Now, this referee said, I will have no back chat from any of the players. Any questions have to go through your captain, nobody else. So we go down for the first scrummage, and hookers set, don't they, by putting their arms high up in the air,
yeah,
and a proper bind either side. Well, not this prop. The prop let the hooker bind onto him, and then he bound over onto his prop like he was a hooker. So he's never done this before in his life. So first scrum...
That sounds dangerous.
Dangerous? Like, dangerous. First scrum, he turns in and ends up... with his head on the floor, but then the neck, do you know when you roll your back over your neck?
Oof.
So I was like, okay, second scrum, I won't push. Same thing happened. I'm telling him, you've got to go low, you've got to have a long bind, I'm not going to push this scrum, just be careful.
And, how bad?
Right? Just be careful.
Oh my God. You said to the guy, look, you need to do it like this. I'll tell you what, I won't push on this scrum.
Yeah. He's never going to beat me, you know, and it's 13 rugby, so who cares? Yeah.
Brilliant.
So off we go again. And he just collapses. And then the bright sparks, and the Duckenfield team said, we've got an idea. We'll move him to hooker. Okay, so now you've got this guy who's never propped before, sitting in a hooker, and then binding completely the wrong way. So I was like, right, sir, I've got an issue. The referee would not let me talk to him. He then threatened me with a yellow card if I continued to whinge about the scrum.
Oh, God.
What a moron. He's actually lucky that no one got seriously hurt, because the two guys I was propping against didn't have the slightest clue.
So... without wanting to get bogged down in specifics, I think actually if you stand back and look at all of these things that we've just touched on, actually all it is can we take the procedure out of the game and can we let the boys play?
Yeah.
Well, I've come up with it, Phil just agrees with me, come up with a solution for this, eliminate the knock-on. Props would be smaller, the ball would be in play for longer.
I would love to see this trial. This is something that I think it's a couple of years ago this first got...
Yeah.
You first piped up with this, and I laughed my head off thinking,
me too.
You're mental.
The other one.
And if it's the first time you've heard it, you will probably be going, yeah, eliminate the knock on. What, you're mad? But just let it sit with you for a couple of days.
Not
and
have a think about it.
Not forward pass. Not,
and deliberate knock on is still a professional foul.
Yeah,
yellow card.
And if you were to score a try directly from an accidental knock on, even, then that would get chalked off. However, every other type of knock on, just play on.
Or
and
you can say knock ons exist when you're attacking in the 5 meter area or the 22. You can play around with it.
No one knocks on
deliberately
when they have the ball. Do you know what I mean? With the ball.
Yeah. Well, otherwise, you just do a grubber kick.
Yeah, like in the NFL, they'd be fumbling all the time, so they could just regather it. You know, there's loads of examples of why this is not.
I'd love to see it trialled at a good level, because I just think it would be really interesting to see how much more time the ball's in play, how many less scrums there are, and as a result, how knackered these big lumps up front get.
The other way of doing it, me and Jay were discussing the other day, would we just make the game longer, have 45 minute halves or 50 minute halves. And then the ball will be in play longer.
Would be epic.
Yeah, and you're going to have fitter players, so you're going to have slightly smaller players.
God.
And we get
that's
a
whole lot more abuse to your body, though. That
we get a bit more rugby.
We get a lot more injuries.
Not necessarily. If the weights come down, if the average player... So if you're training to play for 90 minutes rather than 80 minutes or 60 minutes like some of these guys are playing, then the sizes will come down. So you're not necessarily putting through more punishment.
Two unintended consequences here, Phil. One, the majority of injuries happen when heart rate is high.
Yeah.
And that's just... I don't know whether that's a weird correlation or if that's actually causing...
Well, later on in the game, when your muscles are fatiguing, so your muscles are not supporting your joints 100% and that kind of thing.
Second of all, would players not get bigger? Like, you'd love a Billy Vunipola to come off the bench with 20 minutes to go. So actually, they might get bigger because the advantages they'd have would be so much greater.
Mm. In the last 20 minutes. Yeah, maybe.
What do you reckon? Add to the conversation at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. I've just remembered that you were just talking about conditioning and stuff. And we should mention as well, our friends at Canterbury have got the ultimate training event, which is going to be happening. And there's a date for this now, Wednesday the 11th of May. It's an all-day thing on Wednesday the 11th of May. If you fancy having a day training with Jeff Parling, Kevin Sinfield, and their newest ambassador, Robbie Henshaw, then you could get travel, accommodation, and a big goodie bag of Canterbury stash.
Lovely Canterbury stash.
And a day getting expert training from some of the legends of the game on both codes.
And you might even get some training from JB.
That's right.
Well, now with the new job at Virgin Radio starting, I will be in Central London on Wednesday, 11th of May. And I only do an evening show. So I'm doing this. I'm there.
Nice.
I think I'll probably be taking some time off work to come down and do it as well.
Well, join you both.
So if you want to join us, you can win your place there. We have tweeted out, and we will again tweet out the details. But if you just search, at Rugby Podcast, you'll be able to find it. But Canterbury, and it's jointhecommitted.com, I think, is their website.
Which is also the strapline for Scientology, interestingly enough.
Is that right?
No, it's not. other things on the Egg Chasers calendar is not this Thursday, but next Thursday we land in New York. So if you're going to watch the Saracens London Irish game, hit us up on Twitter. If you're not a psychopath, we might meet up with you.
I've been doing some investigations into sports bars and stuff.
Superb. Yes.
Again, if you're from New York and you can confirm that this is indeed a good sports bar, Finity's sports bar is apparently meant to be very good.
Well, Finity's.
It's a good drink hole and sports bar. So we might be watching the Six Nations early in the morning there.
Yes, there's about a 10 a.m. kickoff over there, isn't it?
I can't wait.
I've noticed these happening in Manchester, and they're happening in London as well. But New York is the birthplace of the fixed price boozy brunches.
Now you're talking, Tim.
So we'll be doing a few of them. So if you're out in New York, then we'll see you there at Rugby Podcast. You can tweet to us. Right, that's it. We're done. Make sure you...
Well, a couple more things.
Oh, go on then, Phil.
Worth mentioning, yes. I think. The other international tournaments that are going on.
Oh, yeah.
The America's Rugby Championship.
And speaking of USA.
Yes.
They had Brazil this week, I think.
They played Brazil, yes.
A strong-looking Brazil side.
Very strong-looking Brazil side, because Brazil won.
Did they?
They did.
They did.
They scored a penalty in the last second, with the last kick of the game, to win 24-23.
Huh. Don't like that.
And elsewhere, Uruguay sneaked past Chile 23-20. And in a couple of hours' time, as we're recording this, 8 p.m. Sunday evening, Argentina's second team, because their first team are obviously playing Super Rugby.
I can't wait to talk about that in the domestic podcast, midweek domestic podcast, which will come out on Tuesday.
MWDP.
Yeah, they host Canada, Argentina, their second 15, and then in the second tier Six Nations, it was fairly one-sided scores. Georgia comfortably beat Spain 38-7. Germany comfortably beat Portugal 50-26, which is a bit of a surprise.
Isn't it?
And Romania hammered Russia 30 points to nil.
Wow.
So that's the biggest surprise, I think.
Wow.
You'd expect that to be a very close game. So interesting over there.
They've been eating their Weetabix and doing their deadlifts.
Well, it means that Georgia and Romania, they've played three, won three in that tournament. And Ooh, they face each other in the final round of games on the 19th of March, which will probably decide the championship.
I might actually watch that.
I might go to it.
Where is it?
Tbilisi.
Oh, right, okay.
Probably get some good cheap flights, pop over for a night out. Make sure you, when you do that, make sure you check the price of a taxi or a drink before you pay for it, because otherwise you'll get stitched up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you been? Man speaking from experience.
I don't want to talk about it. I'm just getting very dark, painful thoughts right now. That's for another day. So download the Midweek Domestic Podcast at Rugby Podcast. Get in touch with us on Twitter.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And all the things you've talked about, and we will see you next time in a bit, JB.
Bye-bye, Tim.
Later, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.